In terms of the fund drive goals, I mean, are you comfortable with that? Are there questions, concerns? Do I need to talk with Bob Conger?
I have a comment about that.
Okay, go ahead, Grace, and I'm going to call on myself.
Okay. In my estimation, KPFK have the staff are just geniuses at doing the fund drives, and have and all kinds of gimmicks and preemptions and every and efficiencies regarding just basic ways that the station is managed and run, and with goosing the fund drive in every way possible. However, KPFK has been losing market share and has been losing membership. And I don't think there's too much upside in terms of using the techniques that have been really successful at KPFK for a few years. They are successful now at WBAI, similar types of techniques. But there's not much more. We've reached the point of diminishing returns at KPFK. Unless we start really improving programming, and also we have a little bit of a management vacuum. We're understaffed now at KPFK. The layoffs from last year are creating certain deficiencies at the station. The station's still fine, but there's not a lot of income upside, given that the listenership has declined and the membership has declined. Without improving programming, which hopefully will be done soon, we're not going to see income upside, in my opinion, given all the factors that LaVorne's talking about. Because we've been using the same techniques that have been used at WBAI all along at KPFK, and there's not too much further we can go with them.
Okay, thank you, Grace. I'm going to call on myself, and then I believe I heard Brian. I'm not comfortable with drive goals that are higher than the current year. And also, it seems like on row 15, they're projecting a higher fulfillment. Is that correct?
They have a fulfillment rate at 83.425. 2009, he shows 81%. So he's raised that two basis points above the prior year.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
He says,
is there my feeling is without a very good reason for believing it's going to go up. Because in my experience at my station, when they've projected higher fulfillment rates, they haven't come through. So I don't know. I'd be much more comfortable if the drive projected the 2009 total and the fulfillment rate was the 2009 total.
Well, see, again...
Because I believe in some of these drives, maybe February, they had to go extra days even to get to the number they got, which still isn't as high as they're projecting for next year, if I recall correctly.
Brian here?
So that's my preference. Okay, Brian.
I think we asked for something last year that I'd love to see in this template, which is where we compare the prior year's drives and the budget drives. That we have the managers list how many days they spent in drive the prior year and how many days they plan to spend in drive to meet the budget goal. I think that gives us a better basis of comparison. I'm nervous exactly about what everyone else has raised. I'm nervous to see goals going up. I'm very nervous to see fulfillment going up, because that's the one that really bites you. If your fulfillment's too optimistic, you make your fund drive goal, you feel like, great, I'm on budget, and then 2 months later you realize you're short and you can't figure out why. It's like too late to make a correction. But as I recall, KPFK and all its major drives was well over 20 days this year. And if it's going to have to go a lot more days to make these budget goals, I don't know. We should at least be talking about it. The budget also looks like they're eliminating their summer drive, so maybe the manager's intention is to front load more into the other drives. But it'd be nice to see that time and drive data.
On the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Susan?
R-Paul, too.
And R-Paul. Okay, first Susan, then R-Paul.
Yeah, a bottom line issue that I would like for us to constantly focus on is exactly what Brian brought up, and one that I bring up over and over again, and that is how many days of fund drive do we have? That, to me, is like blood pressure. It is a critical measure of how much burden are we placing on our listeners. And so if we are reducing the number of fund drive days, that's great. I think that that's a goal that we should be trying to have every time we load some additional on for important purposes like PRA or retiring national office debt. Those are things we need to understand their burden on the system. So I would very much like for us to keep tabs on what are the number of fund drive days that we are needing to achieve the results we achieve.
This is Grace. I'd like to comment on that.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, wait, there was somebody else in the stack, R. Paul.
Yeah. In the olden, pardon me, one second. Pardon me. In the olden days, many years ago, we were always told that Pacifica had the policy that you couldn't budget income that wasn't based on previous year's income. And this was a hard and fast rule. And then things changed, and it became different. And now we're in all of this deep trouble. I think those two things are connected. I think we should go back to the old requirement that if you make $1 million in listener support this year, you can only project that you're going to have an income on your next year's budget of $1 million. If you make more, that's great. The year after that, you can increase it, because that way you're more likely to be realistic about these things. And I know it's hard. It's difficult because looking at things, people don't want to do it, but we've got to be really realistic about this, or the stuff that's been going on for the past couple of years is going to go on not as badly, but a little bit. And right now, we're kind of close to the point of where just a little bit more of that crap is liable to sink us.
You're here.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Let's see. Next on the stack, we have Grace.
The first thing is that the per-day fund drive revenue soared at WBAI in May and again in August. And it's particularly surprising in August because August on the East Coast, there's nobody on the East Coast in August, or relatively. I mean, it's vacation.
Well, wait, well, there's two people who were on the August.
Yeah, but, okay, so having two successful fund drives there where the per fund drive day income increased very substantially, I'd rather budget in a little bit of extra income. I mean, do we want to budget in the failure of earlier in the fiscal year together with the success and just average it out, or give an extra 10% or 15%, assuming that the successful changes will continue into the fall and winter drives?
Well, this
I
is
think
for
that's
BA.
Actually.
Are you talking about BAI or KPFK?
I'm talking about WBAI, but I'm also talking about WPFW. WPFW just had a four-day mini drive. And
right, sure,
they,
but.
Wait a
but
second. Can I finish,
we're
please?
On KPFK.
I know that. But Brian is making a generalization about all the stations, and the trend has been broken of extending fund drive days because at each station because the per day income has decreased. We see an upside at WBAI and at WPFW. WPFW had a 4-day mini drive, and their per day revenue for each of the, for those 4 days averaged out was much higher than it's been in years. So as far as KPFK goes, I think that the drive will probably come in at budget or close to it with possibly 1 or 2 days added. That would be my estimate unless programming improvements are done now. Programming improvements were done at KPFT only a few weeks before their fund drive, and they were very well received by the audience there, and it was their first drive that came in above their budgeted goal in several drives. It came in strongly above their budgeted goal. So I would say that if changes are made, proactive changes are made at KPFK rapidly, we may be able to exceed the budgeted goal. But if not, it's going to be difficult to reach that goal without adding one or two fund drive days.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt. I see you got your point back to KPFK. Well, I have a motion. I'd like to move that this budget base their income on FY 2009, their listener support on FY 2009 fund drive proven achievement. Proven FY 2009 revenue.
How about fulfillment?
You know, I guess fulfillment and fulfillment. I think fulfillment would be worked into there. But, yeah, we should base listener support on proven FY 2009 pledging and fulfillment. I have a question, LaVarne, about the fulfillment rate.
Yeah.
They have the February over here in columns Q through X.
Right.
It breaks down the drives, and then it shows a fulfillment rate for each drive. So on row 14, it's got October 2008 had an 88% fulfillment rate. Then February 2009, which was the next big drive, has a 68%. Did they average those numbers somehow, or?
Yeah, we need because the fulfillment rate is as of April the 30th. 2009. So
that fulfillment might be higher.
Oh, it was definitely higher. But in 2 months, you know, and he has an assumption in here in terms of when it comes in, I think he has like 50, 30, 15 or something on some of them. So I'll just make a note here to look at how he's looking at the funding coming in. But no, those fulfillment rates were, he has a note on there as of 4/30, so no, it's much higher than that. And so that's the critical thing about fulfillment anyway, is that if you have a drive, unless you do a little drive and you only ask for credit cards, do a little mini drive and say, I want only credit cards pledged to the, you know, whatever, the website, then you're if you have a drive in August or September, and unless you ask for credit cards, you will only get 50% of that in that fiscal year. So that's what actually causes your fulfillment rate to go down, because as the drives fall
right,
out.
I understand.
Okay, well, that's what you look at.
Do you know
at.
What this 81% number in 2009 is based upon? Is that completed fulfillment, or is that fulfillment for these drives this year, or is that fulfillment for drives that have basically completed their fulfillment?
I think that was budgeted.
He has the budget in terms of the total fulfillment. Again, what I was trying to say, and let me say again, is that unless you actually do this, look at the MMSAs and do this line item, you know, by drive showing the approximate amount that will come in, then that's what you determine. I mean, it's not based on just looking at the total drive and say 80% will come in. What you need to do is do it by month to show the drive and show how the money is coming in each month, and then you sum it up. So these are, you know, again, so what we want to do is say that if he says the fulfillment rate is 83%, it is if your drive starts on October the 1st and then ends on September, and then you look at the amount that comes in on a monthly basis until the end of the month, and that's the way it should be planned. So
okay, well, it seems like we need
I think the data you're looking for is down on row 259.
Oh, okay. I hadn't gotten there there yet. Okay, 259?
On the assumption sheet?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a month-by-month breakout by fund drive?
That's exactly what you did.
Okay, 259.
So
okay.
the number is 68% there for February. And it shows that the first month it was 45%. So I don't know if the drive went over into March or if it ended in February of that month.
I tell you what's weird about this is the fulfillment really seems to swing at KPFK. Like the May 2008 drive only has 79% fulfillment after 12 months, but the October 2008 drive has 89% fulfillment after only 7 months.
That's the difference in terms of who was like really leading the drive, and how the programmers are asking for credit cards. And are asking for credit cards, plus your phone volunteers are asking for the credit card initially and not asking for a choice. So again, it's how you're conducting your fund drives also.
Well, then I see down here looking on cell 289, mm-hmm. I believe that's Z289. There's a lot of merging going on here, which I don't like merging, but anyway. Says last four fund drives, the average fulfillment rate is 84%.
Well, that's over more than the 12-month period. Again, so therefore, when you do this, you do your projections. You do it over a fixed period, and the 12 months does not 12 months alone do not capture your total fulfillment. But on a planning purpose, you have to determine what it is. Like I said, do it by month. Like this, the way your history is, and then you will determine how much you will expect and what your fulfillment will be.
Well, based on those numbers, it does seem like the plan for 2010 number 83.425%. They're pretty precise down there in Southern California.
Well, you know what? That's not that average is coming out funny though. It's not weighted. He's averaging averages.
Oh, averaging, it's a big drive or a little drive, it doesn't matter.
So a small drive with a large variation in fulfillment rate could really throw you off.
Okay, so... Ken,
you have to use the same methodology on each drive by drive. You can't just, and then you can weight it once you do all the drives. But the February 2009 drive, he doesn't have any, so that's February, March. And so he has nothing in there for April. No, or maybe that's the first month. It's March. I don't know. We'll have to see which month that it really is. The 45%, did that happen in February or did it happen in March? But the note that he has on there is that this is through 4/30/09. So again, you can come up with a projected target fulfillment rate, but to determine what the real numbers are, you drop it in just like you have the history here, and that's how you determine what the fulfillment rate will be.
Well,
it seems like getting the next few months of the February 2009 drive
mm-hmm.
would be important, because after about 5 or 6 months, it should be most of the way done, and we could see if it's 80% or 85% or 88%.
Okay, I will put that down as something that we will look at and get that for on tomorrow when we have a discussion about the whole template and the planning. So we need to get MEMSes.
Do you guys have some kind of program that just takes the numbers out of MEMSes and does
no.
all that stuff, or do you have somebody have to do this by hand?
No, you don't do it by hand. You pull it from you can pull all kinds of reports from MEMSes. In fact, not only pull it from MEMSes, but just an aside, I talk with the computer show guys, Joe King and Hank Key, and Hank Key will have to pay the rights for it, but showed me a program which costs about $10 for the license that you set it up and you can pull data however you want in a nice little Excel format.
Okay.
You do have to run a separate report for each drive.
This is Grace. Can I be on the stack sometime?
Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, as I recall, over the last few years, the general fulfillment rate at KPFK has ranged between 28 and 82%. There was one really, one drive about a year and a half ago or so where the fulfillment was only 74%, and that was greeted with alarm. So that may be a factor. We were very concerned concerned about that. What I would like to request from Brian is we have $500,000 at least in receivables of unfulfilled pledges at KPFK, and I know other stations are in have similar situations, and I know KPFA had success with using an Oregon firm to telemarket basically for the that fulfillment. Can you gather that information for me and email me how successful that was? I believe it was replicated to some extent at KPFT.
Yeah, I think KPFT is the most recent to use telemarketing for lapsed donors.
But I think that far less money was generated for KPFT.
On a percentage basis?
No.
Because the small amount of money can be a lot for them.
Yeah, right. But if you can you get me that information of what the firm is, how much they charged?
It would probably be better if you asked them directly. She's on vacation this week, so I can't ask her for a week, and I'll probably forget if I let it run that long.
I think Dwayne has the information.
All right, I'll get it from Dwayne then, because that may be something we really want to pursue for KPFK and possibly for WBAI, WPFW as well.
May I get on the stack?
Yes, you certainly can.
Oh, great.
Are you finished? Are you finished, Grace?
Susan might have more.
Yes, I am finished.
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, we had done that calling lapsed members, some of us, I think, by LSB members and then also with the firm. I think that we were very, very pleased with the performance of the firm. One of our members got a call and said that I think it was Wendy, said that she was called and she thought that they did a great job. Robin Lewis can, I'm sure, give an assessment. And I think that it's a very good way. You don't have to spend a lot of time organizing. You just get it done.
Can I reply to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just for the benefit of other stations. We try to do it with volunteers at KPFK, and it was pretty much a dismal failure. It's just not the kind of thing that lends itself to a volunteer effort, even an LSC effort. I think that you had a little bit more success at KPFT. But I think the success of hiring the firm, I think that's the way to go from our lack of success of having LSD members and other volunteers do it. It was just our results were too poor, and the burden on our staff was too great.
Our Paul for staff.
Okay, our Paul.
Yeah. Well, here's something I've been suggesting for the past 20-something years. Has anybody tried having the producers to whom the people pledged, calling them up? Because I've always thought that this would be effective, because if somebody pledges to my program and they don't fulfill, and then I call them up and say, would you please do this, I would think they'd be very likely to fulfill at that point. But has anybody tried this at all? I mean, you know, anybody?
Yeah. This is Susan.
Go ahead.
Yes. One of the things that a number of our programmers do, particularly some of the most popular ones, is they follow up with thank yous, direct phone calls, they announce on air, they do all that sort of thing, and they have high fulfillment rates. It's something that we have been, that our program council is encouraging all of our programmers to do, and we're trying to have trainings around that. It makes a real difference. Now, the personal contact. I haven't done the analysis about how these all stack up, but these are the programs that year in and year out really generate the revenue for us.
Okay, thank you. All right, then. Well, I guess I'm going to modify my motion with regard, because we don't really... It seems like I thought the fulfillment rate was too high, but it seems like it might be realistic. So I have a question for you, Grace, as a KPFK representative. Here it says listener support for August this year is going to be 220,000. That's pledges. Think you've gotten $220,000 in pledges in August?
Oh, no. No, that's, I think that was, we were going to have three or four individual days, fundraising days.
Uh-huh.
And that was based on, I think, a $55,000 one-day drive that was done in December. It was giving meals to the homeless.
Right.
And that was successful. The same thing was tried, and it was a dismal failure a few weeks ago.
So this $220,000 estimate for August drives is probably an overestimate.
I think it's overly optimistic, to say the least.
Okay. Oh, and here's another issue. Now, you're saying KPFK is going to start its drive in September?
No. Yes, it is.
KPFK is going
to... I think it's going to start September 17th, something like that.
Okay. LaVarne, is that... Do you understand that to be true?
Well, you know, Grace just said it. Yeah, she... I
just talked to somebody just before this call. I talked to somebody at the station.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is an issue then.
Yes.
You're going to have, all this money is going to show up in October. It's going to show up in September.
Well, if you look at the budget, you can see the revenue. Even on the assumption page, he has, listener support income. Let me find it. There's the amount that's in September, then another amount that's in like 120. Is it like 125 or something? Let me find it here. In September, in October. But you know, this, when you go across the, everyone needs cash, so you really can't. You know, that's really based on their cash flow also. So you will have the issue of, like you said, fiscal 09 versus fiscal 2010. So, if you look at his numbers there and listener support, the September number is not correct, but October he has 545. And if he's going to get, the first 60% of the million, that's like a BR, that would be like $600,000, a little over.
I'm sorry, LaVarne, which tab are you on?
I'm looking at KPFK, the budget FY 2010 tab, and if you look at line 5.
Okay, so you're going through the month there?
Yeah, and so September is not a September number has to be forecast. Because it really does not. If they start on the 17th, and if you look at, and it goes through what date?
It's going to straddle September and October, so I think it's going to be 2 weeks in September and 1 week in October.
And
so like through the 8th, maybe.
Yeah, I think something like that.
See, and this is the issue in terms of talking with the general manager. So on line 5, column I, in budget FY 2010. He has 544 in support for October, but the September number does not reflect the budget there. I mean, the fund drive there. So this is one of the conversations that we need to have with the GM, the business manager, and with the treasurer.
The non-existent treasurer.
Oh yeah, I have not heard that person. So it would be. Bob and...
Okay, I'll start some sort of a dialogue because there are several things that I'm concerned about. KPFK currently is $160,000 under budget, projected to be $160,000 under budget. And we're going to make it up instead of doing a mini drive in August, they're going to make it up with three or four separate days of fundraising. In 2 days of fundraising, only about $35,000 was raised. So that doesn't bring it up high enough. There may be one or two other. But if they're starting their major drive in September, it's not going to be really feasible to do too much extra in the way of individual days of fundraising, although I think 1 day is actually scheduled. There has been some other equipment problems or building problems that have come up as well. So that's probably why the figure is a little higher. So I am concerned. I think we should be concerned about KPFK. It needs a little. It needs some attention. KPFK is a strong station, but it needs to boost its market share up. Otherwise, it's going to get into the syndrome that we've seen before of having to increase fund drive days to achieve the same revenue.
Do you know, does KPFK, do they plan to make any changes in their salary line, employee costs? Are they any layoffs planned?
No, in fact, I think that they at least temporarily increased their staff recently, and we have to check into that as well. I just found out about that a couple of days ago. I'm going to ensure that those are absolutely understood to be temporary positions. You see, because there's no general manager, and Bob Conger, who's the chief engineer, is only getting a one-day-a-week bump in salary as the interim GM, he's still covering the chief engineer position. And Alan Minsky, who was a senior producer, was boosted up to interim program director. We no longer have the full... We're no longer paying out the full program director salary nor the full general manager salary. So it looks like there's extra money to hire staff when there really isn't, because soon enough we'll have a full-time permanent program director and a full-time permanent general manager. At least I hope so. But we're looking at a situation where I believe that there may have been staff added, and that has to be understood to be only a temporary, can't be permanent, because otherwise it'll put the whole budget for 2010 out of whack.
Right. Especially if the income projections are overly optimistic.
Right. I think that, you know, KPFK is a very resilient station, and I think that they will be able to make their fund drive goals, but I'm a little bit worried about it. There's some room for concern.
Yeah. Okay.
You get my point.
Right. Well, I guess LaVarne, if you're going to talk to the people,
yes.
I would urge them to base FY10 income goals on what was achieved in FY09 and don't go beyond it. Like, I don't understand why they're going to get more pledges in October and February and May and June and in 10 than they got in 9.
I'll speak to them about that. You know, I generally believe that, you know, I guess I said it at first in terms of you have to make the changes to make things happen, but also if you look at the economy, and overall, and, you know, if I get my crystal ball out, I think that it says that there should be some improvement, particularly in the employment rate, and which should translate somewhat to more stability in terms of charitable contributions, which, you know, on an overall scale have taken a big hit. But, you know, seeing some upside. You look at and you can listen to the talking heads on the business channels. That's what they'll say. So, you know, but that's, you know, we just have to, I just have to understand what is their thought process, and then I can bring it back and explain it. And, you know, but again, it is their budget, so you have to, but, you know, I can't allow anything crazy to go forward. Did I say crazy? I mean, things that stretch. Things that stretch the run rate from the prior year, but yeah.
And another issue with KPFK is, you know, I don't believe they're planning to end this year with any money in the bank. I mean, they don't have any
cash
surplus. And also, I believe they still have a bill to the national office. I don't believe they've caught up significantly on their central service non-payment of a couple
of
years ago.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think that KPFK still owes $230,000 to the national office, and I don't think that that's in the budget to be paid down. I know KPFK has been paying down its debt, but Do you see, I'm not in front of my computer this second.
Yeah, I kind of scanned through it real quick. I didn't see where it would, there is central service amount here, but it's, I believe it's, wait, central service has got its own tab. Okay, well, that's cool. It's going to be interesting. So central services, K11. Oh, my God. And it's very tiny type.
Well, he has it on the assumptions and historical data. On the first assumption and historical data on line 209 and to 212.
Yeah, it seems like the central service number in the budget is simply the percentage of listener support budgeted to arrive that month. It doesn't appear that there's any back central services planning to be paid here.
Well, yeah, if you look at the cash flow, there's no catch-up payment. That's where it would show up.
Are you looking at that?
The cash flow tab, yeah. He's showing the same cash balance that the regular budget shows at the end of the year.
Okay. So that's another issue for KPFK. What are they going to do about their debt to the national office?
I think we need to in this finance committee, we need to figure out a repayment plan for WBAI, especially, and KPFK, so that it gives some relief to the national office, but that it doesn't completely deflate the enthusiasm about the recovery, especially with WBAI, and doesn't discourage KPFK too much. So what should we be asking in terms of back payments being caught up at those two stations? What's realistic?
Well, this is a very interesting question you raised, Grace, because KPFK's budget, as I look for it here, there is a, even if everything works out the way it's supposed to, there is a surplus of about $180,000, which is still less than a month. So they're not building up cash either for themselves. That's a little cash. I mean, that's something. But it's not. Do you remember, the last I checked, their debt to the national office was about $300,000. This was,
I think it's $230,000, but I don't quote me.
As of the end of June.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's say it's $230,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's much provision for paying that.
All of this has to be. We have to work out a repayment plan to the national office so that, the national office can survive. And but that's of both WBAI and KPFK, but that is not going to overwhelm the two stations.
KPFK is the 240. Well, you know, I had a solution to that.
They owe 240?
KPFK is 240, BAI is 744.
When do they owe 240 as of?
531.
531?
July 31, yes.
July 31. Okay, thanks.
One question. How did WBAI go from $1.2 million down to $750,000?
No, the other is other bill backs, like they didn't pay payroll and lots of other stuff that went into that. It wasn't just central services.
Is that $240K total? KPFK bill to the national office, or is it only a central service bill to the national office?
It's the central service for, it's the bill. It's the bill back for central service from K is 240. BAI has other bill backs of 254, and all of those good things that go along with to make it the total number.
Well, it seems like a lot to ask a station to pay $240,000 in a year.
Well, again, this is LaVar, and I had a solution to that and an opinion on that, that it's not totally KPFK's or BAI's responsibility.
Okay, could you walk us through that again?
My response and what I laid out in the last PNB meeting is that debt was allowed to accumulate, not due just strictly to BAI, that as the national board and the management at the time, basically, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use words like that, but they did not stop the bleeding, so that the responsibility of the board, which certain language I can't use either, but anyway, I think it was the decision on the national board not to make changes so that BAI would be able to help support at least pay for their bills, including the bill for Democracy Now! And for payroll and health and all these other things that went into the other $254,000. So I don't think it's strictly the responsibility of the listeners of BAI, that it's partly responsible. The responsibility lies with the board. So therefore, it should be shared, because it wasn't just the BAI directors who made this decision, but it was the total group of directors on the board. So therefore, I think it should be shared. And my solution to that was an extra day of fundraising that they would give to the national office to reduce that receivable of $1.1 million, well, including plus KPFA, $1.3 million. So that's my solution, and that's what I think that we should do. And I sent out a little loan amortization schedule that show like three payments a year based on after your fund drive. That extra day would go toward reducing this receivable.
Okay.
Yes, Brian.
Okay, let's see. We have Brian, and did somebody else? Did Susan. I hear somebody? Susan. Okay, first Brian, then Susan.
I would have a lot to say about that, but I think that's actually a different conversation from our budgeting conversation. And I would request that go under a separate agenda item. I'm going back over the budgeting guidelines that we came up last year at the beginning of the process. And we basically said, among other things, that any station that wasn't carrying a balance should budget a surplus of at least 1 month's operating expenses. In other words, if you don't have any reserves in the bank, your budget needs to have at least that much padding in it. Then if you perform according to budget, you have some money at the last of the year. At the end of the year, we could kick around how much of that should go to repaying essential services, how much of that the station should keep as an operating reserve. But I think the point is a station KPFK situation or WBAI situation, a break-even budget is not good enough. You need a catch-up budget, both for the station's own reserves and whatever it owes.
What was that last point? I'm sorry.
That at a station in either KPFK's situation or WBAI's situation, where there's effectively no cash reserves and there's money owed to the national office, and I'm assuming some back bills as well, a break-even budget is not good enough. You need a budget that shows a surplus, that shows you a capacity to start catching up on those things.
Okay, right.
So what we had, the guideline we came up with last year was 1 month. You have to budget a surplus equal to at least 1 month's operating expenses.
Okay, and this budget does not quite do that. Because 1 month at KPFA is $300,000. And this has a surplus of $184,000.
I'd like to be on the stack after Susan. It's Grace.
Okay, thank you, Grace.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and then Alberto.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, but first we have Susan, then Grace, then Alberto.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with Brian that I would really like for us to address the question of what are the fair and responsible ways to deal with, debt to the national office and so forth. And I've seen LaVarne's proposal, and I think it is a very good starting place to talk about that. I want us to remember, and this is probably something that needs to be talked about on the executive session, but we are also, in addition to just the incidental consulting with Kriegler and Deanda, there are likely to be, or possibly will be, a number of substantial legal settlements, various stations that have to be dealt with, and I don't know if those are budgeted for and how those get budgeted for.
Okay.
You can get little Alberto go before me, Jamie.
Okay, then we have Alberto.
Okay. Adding to the conversation just very quickly, I understand very well what Brian is saying, that our budgets should work towards having a one month cushion there. But as we can see, with the work that we're doing right now with this budget, I mean, it's wishful thinking, and I really don't see it. I wish we could magically create the balances that we need. But you know, obviously we're hoping to bring in more money than is actually going to be available. And two, very quickly, I think that for whatever it's worth, and I understand what Lavarne is saying about catching up on the arrears, but my thing is that regardless of what policy ends up in the future, as far as all the signal areas being involved in the deficit, to remediate the deficit to the national office, the debt to the national office, I think that both stations, K and BAI, should work it into their model of at least providing $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 monthly payment to at least be lowering the amount of money that they owe the central services. But we've been talking about again, there's very little money, but I think that an effort should be done, and that the general manager and the treasurer and or the business manager should actually be cutting a check to the national office monthly, just like we cut a check to the central, to the light company, to the telephone company, etc. But if we never start asking those two stations to pay their arrears, we're never going to get a penny out of it. I mean, we're never going to get those arrears worked out, because as you can tell, here we are working on the 2010 budget, and according to the numbers that I've been hearing, the person that was working the K budget doesn't remember that they owe money to central services and that they need to put it in their own budget, at least token payments, if not substantial payments. And that's all I have to say on that one.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. One comment I would make is that the problematic issue is the stations that fell behind. You know, at KPFK, they're not falling behind, but they're kind of recovering, and BAI is just beginning. You know, it's funny to ask them to start paying extra, even though they, in a way, they should. Okay, anyway, next is Grace, and then Lavarne.
Oh, okay. The first thing, Alberto, is I really understand what you're saying, but in the last year or so, KPFK, I believe, has paid down $400,000 to $500,000 of its debt to the national office.
No, that's not. I don't believe that's true.
Okay. Well, how much was
the sheet I saw was that through the first 8 or 9 months, it paid down about $3,000. It had a debt of $320,000, and it was down to $312,000 or something. I don't believe KPFK has paid.
Okay.
Down.
I don't know. Why does it only? All right. I would have to go over those numbers again. All right. In which case, Alberto may be correct. As far as KPFK goes, KPFK made substantial payroll cuts last fall, and we went from 28 staff to, I believe, our current 21 staff. There may have been a couple added recently, but the staff cuts were pretty significant. And at this point, those staff cuts to some degree, impeded productivity. So, for instance, I have heard a number of complaints about the fact that we don't have any morning or mid-afternoon news the way we used to. And we've coupled our news shows with KPFA in the evening because we basically laid off most of our news staff. And, you know, people turn on the radio to hear news. Now, our staff has been extremely productive. We have half the staff of KPFA and a higher gross income. So you have to look at the fact we are in a larger media market, but our staff is extremely productive, but we cannot sustain further austerity measures. We have only one way to go at KPFK because our staff is already very overworked. Many of them have had their schedules reduced by one day a week, but their workload wasn't reduced by one day a week, and it's gotten to the point of cruelty, in my opinion. So we need to look at revenue improvement, and the only way we're not going to be able to do that is by improving our market share. That's the only way I can see of doing it, because any further decrease in payroll will result in decrease of income, because there simply aren't enough people to do the functions that are needed to sustain fund drives, to sustain programming going on the air, to sustain the rudimentary business procedures that need to be done by every radio station. We are currently understaffed at KPFK. And intelligence needs to be used to... So, you know, in terms of saying we can't have more fund drive days and we can't do things this way and we can't do things that way, we have to look at that station as a unique entity that doesn't necessarily have the same leeway in terms of payroll reduction that possibly KPFA has, for instance.
Okay. All right. Start, please.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. And let's see, I believe LaVarne and then Luzette.
Yes. Thank you. I think, yeah, we're at the point where we have to look at the real deal, the real picture here, and we can go into specifics before I talk about the cuts. And if you look at BAI, when they had their payroll cuts back in November, they laid off the mailroom guy. Now, you know, that's why I'm saying these decisions and this debt that has been raised does not just belong to BAI. Anyone who approves the layoff of the mailroom guy, they did a fund drive. They had no plan whatsoever to deliver the premiums. So, you know, what we're in is on a, you know, if it was on an even scale and everybody started from the same point, and then, you know, you could look at, and which I plan to put in the plan, some payback on central services, which we're already starting, at least pay for Democracy Now!, which I said I'd do, and we're going to do, you know, pay $10,000 a month on that at least so we can get better. But Grace is telling you, you know, this is the truth. We are dealing with a plan where BAI made these cuts, like I said, and they laid off the mailroom guy. So, you know, we've had to bring people back to just pay them to do some of the, you know, basic services. And that's where we are now. And that, you know, and where we can, I will make sure that we will start paying back, even when we are down to cash, that we will do, we have a plan to do a little short, perhaps, internet-only drive, you know, maybe a couple hours each day, working with some of our major, the people who have provided premiums to us and some of the major guests. But the thing is that, you know, this whole thing, it goes back, this whole thing is that we cannot, where we are now is not the result of either K or BAI. It's the result of this national board that allowed particularly some stations like BAI and K to make these severance cuts, and they have not been made at A, and that these cuts, like in addition to laying these people off, it also, due to like lack of discipline, on like accumulated sick leave or vacation pay has just totally wiped out the cash of these stations. And the severance did that because people have all kinds of vacation pay that they've been accumulating probably for years. And there has to be a discipline and a place and a process put in place, which Ahmad is working on, to not allow that. You have to expend that vacation. So when the person does leave, particularly with the severance, there is this huge severance package because of these things. So, you know, ideally, we need to see what we can do to make sure at least we're paying for things that are going out the door, which requires cash, like Democracy Now!, like all of our bill backs on health and all of the legal costs. We have to make sure that those are in the plan. But we can't say that it's going to absolutely happen because it has been unfairly distributed among the stations as far as where the cuts are made, and having the resources to produce the program that's needed.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay,
I need to leave the phone for a while. I'll try and come back shortly. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Alberto. We may be in the closed session.
Okay,
so check
I'll try.
Phone number.
That's okay. Thank you very much, people. I need to move out from KPFT onto the road, and I'll come back as soon as possible.
Thank
Have
you.
A good
Thank
night,
you.
All of you, if I don't hear you.
Okay, thank you. And I do have your idea of paying back.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. Let's
I need to go.
Next on the stack, we have Luzette.
Yes, I want to endorse the sentiment that we need to look at how and where we make staff reductions. At TFW, there's nothing there to cut. I think we also have to look at cutting back on our legal costs when we're being sued. There must be something that we can do. One or two cases just wipes the account out from black to red. And those are the things we need to be looking at rather than talk about cutting staff in a day like this and in a place like this.
Okay, thank you, Luzette.
Thanks.
Okay, so folks, we have a closed session scheduled that we should probably get to. You know, are there any more? And LaVarn, I have a list. You have a list of action items to get the budget prepared. I can email you what I've recorded.
Why don't you do that in any of the other things, like what my conversations with the general manager's list in terms of getting those to talk to the general manager so that we can see where they're coming from.
And then
I have one brief comment.
Okay, so let me just wrap up then.
Okay.
So, LaVarn, our hope is to have by next Tuesday budgets with a 12-month comparable so we can really, we can get pretty far along with our review.
Absolutely. And
I guess now that we have these three provisional budgets in our hand, people can look them over in their spare time.
Okay. Before we go into exec session, I'd like to at least take a quick spin through KPFA's budget so that if there are general concerns that people have, we can start kicking around solutions here.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Grace, and then we'll decide what to do about that.
I just wanted to stress the accuracy of what Luzette said. I spent 4 days at WPFW. I've looked at their budget. I've looked at their operations, and they cannot sustain any further payroll cuts. That station needs all the staff it has. It has a very good staff. But LaVarn is correct in that if you don't have senior management in an organization that's overseeing and a board that's overseeing what's happening at the stations, that can really negatively affect. In fact, the policies and procedures that were in place that created hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal payouts that had to be made by KPFK nearly crippled that station. And those were all decisions made at the national and board levels. So there's really a truth to that. But KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW cannot take any more payroll cuts, really. They need every staff member they have right now.
Okay, thank you, Grace. See, we have a point of order there, and then we have to decide what to do with KPFA's budget.
Okay, the point of order is, what about this motion you made before?
I'm going to, I turned it into a suggestion, so it's a...
So everybody agrees it's withdrawn?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
then.
I mean, do you think we should make a motion, or I think... pointing that out to LaVarn is a concern. I believe the committee does have a concern about that. So
I just want to make sure that when I eventually get the minutes done, that I have it right. So either
that motion is withdrawn.
And then we need everybody to agree it's withdrawn. Is there any objection to withdrawing it? Hearing none, it's withdrawn.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. So let's see. Brian would like us, before we go to the closed session, to take a quick spin through the KPFA budget, which is fine with me. Does anybody have any objection to that? How long do you think this quick spin would take?
Well, I can do a quick 5-minute run-through. LaVar mentioned she had some concerns. Maybe she can sunlight those so we know what we're looking at here.
Okay.
I don't know if people have questions.
That's
fine. Do you want to set a time to go into exec session so we don't run over?
Why don't we go into executive session at 10:55?
Gotcha.
Now 10:40. Okay. 10:40.
So, you know, our budget, basically the framework we were dealing with, is we have some expenses that kind of go up outside of our control every year, like healthcare.